morning. It's always good to see the church so well filled this morning. And God bless each and every one of you for coming. I wasn't sure what the title I should give this morning. I was sitting here. This came to me. I think I'll just, what I would like to share with you this morning, I think I'll just call it Beauty for Ashes. That's what I would like to share with you this morning. And that is found in Isaiah 61. Verse 3. It says this way, to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they might be glorified. You know, we were talking about worship this morning and praising the Lord in our Sunday school service. I had to think, no, not unless this is a part of your life, real in your life, how can we even praise God? How can we even worship the Lord? You know, beauty for ashes, inner healing and restoration for the hurts and for our sins. You know, if you know that, you have something to worship God for and to praise Him for. This is, I look at this as your inheritance for the people of God. Do you have it this morning? Do all the people of God have it? I don't think so. Because, you know, and I thought what Jason shared this morning was very good. You saw this when he shared this morning. Let's turn it around. Looks a little better, doesn't it? You know, beauty for ashes. I just told Jason, well, I'll take it up there and I'll turn it around. I know that's what he wanted to do. But he had a good point. And what he shared was, I didn't know what he was going to share, and he doesn't know what I was going to share, but they kind of meshed together. I enjoyed that. This is your inheritance. To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Remember the end result here. It is that He might be glorified. That Jesus might be glorified. That His name might be lifted up. Now, if we walk around with the spirit of heaviness, do you think anybody wants what you have? No. If you have the oil of joy, do you think somebody would like to have that? If they sense that on you, in your life? And this isn't something we can really manufacture, although we might try sometimes. We might come to church at times and, you know, get ready for church and everything. And we can put a smile on a face, but there's a spirit of heaviness in our heart. the garment of praise, or that for the spirit of heaviness. Like I said, this is your inheritance. And it doesn't depend on circumstances, does it? It shouldn't. We can read in the martyr's mirror through the book of Acts. They were beaten. They were persecuted. They had everything taken away. And yet they had great joy, didn't they? Yes, they did. They had great joy. And it was because they had a substance. It was because they had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And they had something that could not be taken away. So, maybe to begin in this message, I would like to tell you another bird story. In the last message, do you remember I shared a bird story with you then? Remember what it was? Who remembers what it was? Let's see what. Oh, a few. Thank you. Yes, it was about the house wren. You know how there are such amazing creatures of praise around our home during the summertime. And how that just already spoke to my heart. This one is a little bit different this morning. We have a few bird feeders in our yard and on the front porch. In the wintertime, all kinds of birds come to these feeders. And it was one morning, about 3 to 4 weeks ago, I heard this panic cry of a blue jay. And you could hear there was something wrong. It was a cry of terror. And quickly I went to the glass sliding door to see what's going on, what's happening here. And there on the ground was a hawk and a blue jay. And immediately when the hawk saw me, he flew away. Then the blue jay also flew to a nearby tree. It was a pine tree. But I could see something. I could see that he was hurt. The hurt was in the wing. But he was in the pine tree, and it seemed he was kind of hid in there. After a little bit, he flew out of the pine tree on a regular tree with just branches, no leaves, and he was very visible then. Just like that, here comes the hawk after him. So the blue jay, he flies to another tree. And the hawk right behind him. And as soon as he made a perch, the hawk was there. He flew to another tree, made a perch, the hawk came there. That happened for a little while, made in those circles, and all at once, the hawk had him. You know? Sad ending for the blue jay. But the blue jay, no longer after he was hurt, did he have the strength and the vigilance to continue the chase much longer. And that is when the hawk got him. You know, when I saw that, like I said, the Lord speaks to me through nature. I looked at that hawk as an enemy. And he was after a prey, which was a blue jay. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 to 10 would say, tell us this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. That's God's end goal, is to make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That you become established, strengthened in the faith, that nothing can shake you. Even offenses that come your way, they will not shake you. Remember here it says, after ye have suffered a little while. Here in this life, it's just a little while. And why do we get hurt and offended so much of the time? It says the God of all grace. Isn't God's grace there? Yes, it is. Do you appropriate into your life during those times? I think that's what Abner was trying to encourage us with last Sunday when he was sharing, and he was shared with us out of Romans 12 how we as Christians need to handle when hurts and offenses come against us. You know, and as a mature Christian, how we should respond back. But do we always respond that way? Do you? No, I don't. I failed. And that verse that Jason shared this morning, it said, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Are you there? Are you there at that place where nothing offends you? I'd admit when I ask myself that question, I'm not there. But that is God's desire. As we read in Peter, after you have suffered a little while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Just like this. You know, this is what God sees. That looks perfect, doesn't it? That picture there in the front? And it doesn't look like this. Can't really hardly see what it is from back there. But this is what God's end project is for your life. Beauty for ashes. Something that glorifies Him. He has redeemed you. He has washed you by His precious blood. Yes, yet we go through this world and we meet hurts at times. And they do unsettle us, don't they? Kind of jar us around. They unsettle us. We see that we're not mature enough to handle that. But you know, that is God's goal. Is it not? It's God's goal. Because Jesus was the ultimate example of maturity. He was the example of maturity in the faith. And it says, I think, someplace in the Scriptures that we should grow up to become like a perfect stature in Christ Jesus, like Him. Yet so many times, these hurts, these offenses get us down. They have a way of tripping us up a little bit. And they hurt. And do you think the enemy is going to let you go then? No, he doesn't. Just like that hawk had an eye on the prey. That's the way he does. He's not satisfied. He wants us done. That's what he wants. He wants your joy of the Lord out of your heart. He wants the agape love that God has given you When you know what it is for that, have that first love. He wants that out of you. He wants that simplicity of faith in Jesus Christ. The love of the brethren. He wants to destroy it. Just like that hawk wanted to destroy that beautiful bird. So Satan is out to destroy the beauty that God has given you. The beauty for ashes. Jeremiah verse 8 says, "For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." You know, when God knows it, when there's a hurt in your life, we can say, peace, peace, but there really isn't a real peace there, is it? No, it isn't, because it hurts. So we can take tranquilizers, we can take medication, and that makes us feel better. Now I feel good. The guys in the jail, I talk to them. They go for the bottle when they get hurt. God has grace available for us to drink of, to partake of for those times. And we can say, peace, peace. But there is no peace. You know, in times like that, when there's no real peace, and you can't really worship God, you can't praise God. And you know, the people won't look at you, the unbelievers, and say, well, I want what she has. I want what he has. Because the joy is missing. The joy of the Christian life. Then it says in verse 21 and 22, it says, "For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt." This is God speaking. It says, "I am black," or that means I mourn. I mourn. In astonishment has taken a hold on me. He says, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" Is there no balm there in Gilead? Balm in Gilead, the way I understand, was a salve, like a medicine salve that would heal wounds. That was a healing salve. It says, is there no physician there to apply it to those wounds? Isn't there anybody there? Yes, we'd say, yes, there is. Then he asked the question, why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? You know, I know we have numerous times. I'm not preaching this because I have anybody in mind. I don't. But I know that we have numerous times here prayer requests. You know, well, pray for the hurting. Pray for the hurting. My heart is for you. Because if we go on hurting and hurting, you know, the Christian life becomes very dry and stale. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician? Yes, there is. Jesus has the answer. He is the great physician. He can take care of all of those things. I can testify, and I know there's many here that can testify too. You know, for that hawk and the blue jay, it only took a minute or two, and that was over. For Satan, he doesn't care how long it takes. He has some long-range goals. He does. He doesn't take care if it takes 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. You know, if he can do that, what that hawk did to the blue jay, that is his object and his goal. Jesus said of him, "I am come that you might have life." He, the devil, is a liar and a thief. And he's come to kill and to destroy. That is his object. That's his goal. To kill and to destroy. You know, as long as he can get you to lose your love for God and for his people, get you to shut up, withdraw, crawl into a shell because you got wounded somehow, somewhere. I have a question here. Where do hurts come from? Abner asked that question last week. Have you been hurt in the church? Yes. They can come from everywhere. You know, that's not really a hard question. But most of the times, from the little member of the body, called the tongue. Sometimes what is said is true, but it's in the tone in which it is said that hurts. Sometimes it's a misunderstanding, and we take it wrong, and that hurts. James 3, verse 2 says, "For in many things we offend all. If a man offend not in word, he the same is a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body." Verse 5, "Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a fire kindleth." Then Proverbs 18:8 says, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly." Psalm 64, he says, "Our words can become as swords and arrows from a bow. They enter the heart and leave a wounded heart." You know, I said sometimes a misunderstanding plays a large role in the way of offenses. In the way of offenses. And we need to be aware of that. Misunderstandings. And that's when imaginations can come in. Imaginations play a big role in offenses. A brother from another state shared this verse with me once. "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle." You know, and he said that he was in a brother's meeting. And he shared something at the brother's meeting. And there was a brother there that somehow through a misunderstanding, he interpreted that he was speaking about him. And he said he became really offended, this brother did. But he said, "I had no intentions, even. I didn't have him in mind in what I shared." But he was offended. See, those are just ways that offenses can come. He was hurt. The door of communication was closed at the time. Communication was closed. He said he wasn't even able to talk to him. Now, that's sad when communication breaks down like that. And that is the object. That's what Satan wants in the church. God forbid that he does it. Communication is so important. And I had to think of the building of the Tower of Babel stopped because they could not communicate together. You know, it ceased. Likewise, the building of the Church of God is hindered when we can't communicate together. It is hindered. That's sad, and that's what Satan's goal is. We can imagine things that are not true, and when you are hurt, it is pretty easy to let your thoughts go. Isn't it? Rather than give the benefit of the doubt, it's pretty easy to let our imaginations go. You can imagine you're not appreciated. I could ask a raising of hands on that one. I won't. You're not appreciated. How many of you felt that way? What you did went unnoticed. You're not needed. You're not wanted here. You imagine someone is talking about you. You know, imagine. And you can make a mountain out of a molehill with imagination. That's just what I'm saying. Let's be careful with our imagination. We must take God's word seriously in relation to this, where he says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Another one, feelings of not being treated fairly, injustice, being treated without respect can cause wounds. Another one may be unfulfilled expectations in the church. Unfulfilled expectations. I like Brother Joe's sign out on the church sign out here in the road. You know, it says there, "You be the change you want to see in someone else." I thought that was very good. Now, what do wounds do to you if not taken care of properly? They can cause lockjaw. That's why the doctors want to give you a tetanus shot. They say every so often you should have a tetanus shot, because that's when you step on a nail or you get a wound, something like that, so you don't get lockjaw. And if a wound isn't taken care of properly, it can cause lockjaw. And I thought, isn't that in spiritual lockjaw? Is I don't communicate. I just shut up. Where I communicate as little as possible. Spiritual lockjaw. That's what it does if a wound isn't taken care of properly. Another thing that happens, infection, gangrene sets in if not taken care of properly. In your spirit, infection would be like resentment. Means feeling of displeasure, indignation, holding a grudge. That is resentment. Feelings of ill will towards someone. Another one is bitterness. What it does to you is bitterness is extreme enmity, a grudge, painful affliction, distress of mind, tending to draw Christians to apostasy. That's what bitterness does, draws us to apostasy. But Hebrews 12, verse 15, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest a root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." What it does, it defiles us. It defiles others around you, especially when we begin to speak evil then of the person, the sister, someone that has offended us. It defiles. These wounds are hurt slowly but surely. They sap the life out of you. They take away the agape love. Like I said earlier, your joy and your faith, your hopes, your inspirations. And they also affect your health. Even the doctors will tell you that. They will affect your health. Bitterness does. So what do I do with these hurts? What do I do with them? Is it just part of the Christian armor? You know, the way some Christians would hang on to hurts, you would almost think it must be part of the Christian armor. You know? But it isn't. It hinders you. You know, some time ago, a struggling Christian in here at the Bedford Jail came up to me after the service and he asked me, he said, how do I get rid of the pain? And he brought his hand up here to his chest and he said, in here. How do I get rid of the pain in here? Many of those guys in prison have pain. They do. They've accepted the Lord, but somehow they get tripped up. The hawk is after them. You don't really know how to get rid of it. So if you go down to the prison in South Carolina, remember that. I remember one time I was there and had a good visit with about three guys in behind the bars. And they were all Christians, you know. And anything I should pray for you? Yes, the one said, I get angry. I have such an anger problem. Could you pray for my anger problem? And I had a little bit of teaching from Steve Stutzman, you know, before you go into the prisons. When you bad fruit usually says there's something wrong at the root. And he says anger is usually a problem of something at the root. He said it's unforgiveness. You know, so I just asked him, I said, is there anyone in your life that you have not forgiven, that you're not willing to forgive? Immediately he hung his head. You know, you just knew the Spirit of God hit the nail right on the head. I said, are you willing to forgive? He said, I have to think on that one for a while. You know, forgiving is difficult. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's difficult. It's a little bit hard. Then I shared with some of the others. Then I came back to him. I said, what do you think? Are you willing to forgive? He said, yes, I am. I'll forgive. Then I helped him, you know. Pray. Name those offenses that offend you. You bring it to the Lord. Whatever it was. And you forgive that person. He did. And afterward he says, I had always in my mind, once I get out of this jail, I'm going to get even with that guy. I don't know what it was, but he says, not anymore. He forgave. That's what the beauty of forgiveness is. Otherwise, it's just a vicious circle, you know, trying to seek revenge. How do I get rid of the pain in here? The one in here at the jail asked me. You know, in those times with the pain in there, there's such a temptation for them to turn to alcohol, drugs for relief. But again, that's a deception of the devil. Isaiah 63:3. He wants to give them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Again, this is your inheritance from God as a Christian. Go after it. But you know, to get it, that inheritance, you must obey the chief commander. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who didn't just tell you to forgive, but he also showed you how to forgive. That's so beautiful, isn't it, of the Lord? You know, he came here kind of like a show and tell. He told us what we need to do, and he showed us what we need to do. This was one area he did very, very so beautifully. He forgave his offenders that offended him. Even the one in, you know, Judas on the cross, those that pierced the nails in his hands. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Then he gave us these instructions out of Matthew chapter 18. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times enough? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. We think forgiving is difficult. Try forgiving 490 times. Try that. But that's what he suggests. Isn't that the command from our chief commander? Yes. And I believe that is not, that's meaning there's really no number behind how many times you have to forgive. Just forgive. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him all the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat and saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw that was done, they were sorry and came and told the Lord all that was done. Then his master, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou desirest me, or you ask of me. Shouldest not thou also had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Where do offenses come from at times? Abner asked last Sunday from the church. He says, if every one of you not forgive his brother their trespasses. Yes, they do come. Sometimes from, but you know, our brother or our sister. But this is God's remedy. This is the grace, the direction that God wants to give, that he gives to the body. And he says here, what happens to the one that didn't forgive? He says, his Lord was wroth, delivered him to the tormentors. Think of the hawk and the blue jay. doesn't sound like a too good life, does it? They're tremendous. You know, bitterness torments, doesn't it? Grudge. When we're unwilling to forgive, there's not a peace. We can say peace, but there's really just kind of a torment going on. And God allows that because He wants us to give it up. Drop it. Leave it. And come to Him. Say, Lord, I'm willing to do what You told me to do. I'm willing to forgive. I'm willing to follow Your example and forgive. That's radical Christianity, is it not? That's radical. But at times, forgiving seems difficult. We'll forgive. Well, I'll forgive if. I'll forgive when. I'll forgive but. We don't want to let go of Mr. Grudge. We just want to kind of keep him. You know, so one time because this inmate in the jail told me, he says, how do I get rid of this pain? So I thought, I'm going to teach this. I told him, I said, I can't, in this few minutes, I can't really. I said, come back in another week or 2 weeks. I said, I will share with you how to get rid of that pain. What would you have told him? I think the next time I went in, I shared on forgiveness. And a very interesting evening. But one of the guys, you know, I opened it up for discussion, you know, and one of the guys raised his hands in the back and he says, I will never forgive. He didn't say it just once. He said it a couple times. That person that did thus and thus to me. You know, it doesn't make sense to the carnal mind. But remember your inheritance as a Christian. Isaiah 61 verse 3. Beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's your inheritance. But He wants you to take it. But to receive it, you have to follow His directions. Just like the children of Israel, when they entered into the land of Canaan, it was their inheritance. But they had to do something, didn't they? They had to go in and possess it. Likewise, for this inheritance, we need to go in and possess it. You know, it doesn't make sense to the carnal mind. In Luke 17, verse 11 through 19, we have the account there in just that passage of the 10 lepers who saw Jesus coming into town. And they cried out to Him and they said, Master, have mercy on us. They knew they had deeds, didn't they? They had leprosy. They had, their hands were probably white. They had pain. And they saw Him. This man can heal us. They cried out to Him. You know, that's exactly what you need to do. Cry out to Jesus. He will help you. But you know, then Jesus said something to them that probably didn't make a whole lot of sense to them. He told them, go show yourself to the priests. In the law, you read of that account, it says that after they were healed from their leprosy, they would go show themselves to the priests. But I'm not healed, Lord. What are you telling me to do? It didn't make sense. But the blessing comes when they obeyed. Okay, Lord, I got leprosy, but You said go. Okay, I'll go. And it says when they went, they were cleansed. That's the way it is with forgiveness. It doesn't make sense to the carnal mind. It's part of the upside down kingdom. But in the kingdom of God, it makes a lot of sense. And then we were just, well, Lord, that's what you say. That's what I'll do. We just do it. You know, that's when the Lord pours in the oil and the wine into those wounds and heals you. Once you're willing to do what He tells you to do in relation to offenses, in a relation to hurts in your life. Yes, Jesus cares. And He tells us how to find true healing through forgiveness. There would be many scriptures we could go through, but I won't. I think that's enough, because they're here that speak about forgiveness. You know, they're so simple. The answer is so simple, yet so difficult at times. Mark 11, verse 25. He says, "And when you stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father, which also is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." When you come before the Lord, God is interested in relationships, is He not? Because when you hold unforgiveness against a brother or a sister, it affects your relationship with that person. It does. Gives you a locked jaw. You can't communicate with that person very well. And He says, when you come before me and you pray and you know there's something there, another brother, then seek to be reconciled with your brother or your sister. When you stand, if you have aught against any, that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. That's amazing, isn't it? That He would forgive us for, I mean, just forgiving someone else. In Matthew 18, 12 to 14, speaks about the shepherd with the 100 sheep. One sheep isn't there. One of them is gone astray. Doth he not leave the 99, goeth into the mountain, and seeketh that which one is going astray? And if be so that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more than of the sheep than the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. One of these little birds that the hawk is after. Is that you? He's not willing that you perish. He's not willing that you perish. He left the 99 to give you an example of what He does for you, will do for you. It doesn't say here what all happened to this sheep. It doesn't say. Perhaps this was the one, he or she, that got hurt and wandered away from the flock. Doesn't say what happened. But we know that the good shepherd cared enough to go out into the night to bring it back. There we see the heart of the good shepherd for you. The account of the good Samaritan. When he picked up the man along the road that was hurting, he said he put him on his beast, pouring in oil and wine. Is there not a balm in Gilead? Yes, there is. That's what God wants to do to your hurts. When you surrender them over to Him and leave go, and are willing to forgive, not just willing, but forgive those that have trespassed against you. I'd just like to close with a story here. This story must have happened back in the 70s, when there was still a good bit of racism in the South between the blacks and the whites. many times our black brothers were treated unjustly. Unjustly. They had to live with that. This was one man's struggle to victory. Okay? Says their racism made me feel like nobody. He was beaten. I'll just read part of it. My beatings and the frustration and bitterness that followed took their toll. In July of 1970, I had a heart attack. I was hospitalized in Mount Bayou, a small black community where I had helped organize some co-ops. After a partial recovery, I find myself back in the same hospital with ulcers. Dr. Sanders, a black doctor, had to take out 2/3 of my stomach because of the ulcers. What did I say? Bitterness does. Laying in the hospital bed, I had a lot of time to think. I thought about the blacks and I thought about the whites. About how in a country that claimed to stand for liberty and justice for all, a black man in Mississippi could get no justice. How sad indeed. It was unjustly used. My heart goes out to them. I thought about in how Mississippi Christians were the most racist whites of all. You could say they didn't have the agape love in their hearts. They might have been a quote Christian, but they're not God's people. Because in God's people, there is no racism. The Spirit of God worked on me as I lay in that bed. An image formed in my mind, the image of the cross, the Christ of the cross, on the cross. This Jesus knew what I had suffered. He understood. He cared. Because he had gone through it all himself. I read Matthew 6:14-15 again and again in the bed. For if ye forgive men for their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive men their forgive, then your heavenly Father will not forgive you your trespasses. To receive Christ's forgiveness, I was going to have to forgive those who hurt me. As I prayed, the faces of those policemen passed before me one by one. And I forgave each one. Faces of other white people from the past came before me. I forgave them. I could sense that God was working a deep inner healing in me. That way it went way back beyond February the 7th, 1970. It went clear back to my earliest memories of my childhood. God was healing all those wounds for me. How? Through obeying Him, through forgiveness. Let's pray, then I'll turn the time over to James. Yes, Father in heaven, it's not always easy, but yet it's so simple. We thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. First of all, that you forgave us. Help us likewise, I pray, to forgive those that have trespassed against us, I pray. I don't know if there's any here this morning or not. If anybody's passing through their mind at this time, I don't know. But if there is, I pray that you would give them grace to do what they know that needs to be done. That is to forgive. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.